This episode of TMS is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, the online learning platform with thousands of expert-led video tutorials to help you build your business, tech, and creative skills. For a free 30-day trial, visit linkedin.com/TMS and start achieving today. That's linkedin.com/TMS. And by BarkBox for supporting the morning stream. BarkBox is a subscription service that delivers a selection of treats and toys to your dog right to your door each month. For a free extra month of BarkBox, go to barkbox.com/TMS when you subscribe to a 6- or 12-month plan. That's barkbox.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, the long 6 days of our discontent.
Disney shuts it down.
Walmart says sorry about the eye flower.
Mayo is gross, and now we have proof.
Major spoilers.
Trek nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
When Jethro Dumont returned to America from my country, Tibet, to become the Green Lama, it was my duty and pleasure to serve him.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go take my vitamins.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Better than dog butt flung poo.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is still the morning here, 11 a.m. in the Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters, on November 13th. It's a Monday. It's 2017. I'm frustrated Scott with always happy and up for it Brian.
Always DTTMS.
Yeah, always. We had some internet issues this morning, but I don't know. Sometimes Comcast cares and they try to help me out. We're good enough for today, so we're making a show. We like to do the live thing. And it occurred to me, as much as I was like, well, maybe we just don't do it live. And then I thought, well, I still need to talk to you.
Yeah, of course.
I still would have to figure that part out. And there was some...
Still would have to have some upstream to just get to me anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, it's fine. Everything's fine. How are you? Hey, welcome back, Brian. How are you? What's your day like?
I'm good. Yeah. Coming off of a nice weekend. Just a relaxing, no real like running around stuff like we've had the last few weekends. Obviously, BlizzCon trip last weekend. Yeah, I mean, the last couple of days have just been kind of nice. Just sitting, hanging out the house and catching up on stuff.
That sounds all right to me. I'll tell you what I wish I had. I wish I had my wife here to chill out with. Because
I'm sure you do.
She left again. Here's the story. She's on her way to this. I realize I should give this some context. She didn't leave.
Right. She left again.
Yeah. She's had a very busy trip year. Lots of little trips here and there. Helping my sister out on one and went to Phoenix with my other sister on another and... Just all kinds of stuff going on, and we had I had forgotten that almost a year ago, I guess, we decided that it would be cool as a birthday gift to her, which happens this month, to send her on a cruise with her sister Sarah to go have a good time and have a little birthday cruise, right?
Yeah.
And they were going to take one out of California. There, they go to LAX and then get on a boat and then off they go, and that's what they did. And they left on, I don't remember now. What day was it?
Okay.
All right. Oh, no, it was Friday. Or Saturday. Sorry. Saturday is when she went.
Well, all right. We have symptom number one. Check. All right.
She went Saturday morning. And why is my headphone? Okay, there we go. If something else breaks today, I'm seriously going to pop a rod. Anyway, that doesn't mean what I think it means, does it?
Well, I'm just noticing my webcam isn't doing its... there we go. Now we're fixed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You were all bright there for a bit.
Life bright.
It happens. So she left, and now I'm here alone. And yesterday I went and got the kids Taco Bell because I'm bad at this. And yeah.
I was gonna say, let's get to the food in a second. First, I want to find out, was it ever an option that you'd actually go with her on this cruise? Like that it would be a trip for the two of you?
No, it was always her and her sister. That was the plan. They wanted to have this little getaway. Her and Sarah are very close, and they're always happy to go have good times with each other. And so that's what that's what they did, and that's great. I'm all for this as well. I think it's great. You know, she deserves it. It's her birthday. I'm excited for her. Blah blah blah. But we just eat really poorly while she's gone. And then I have one other complaint about Taco Bell, and I say this to the audience, but also to you, Brian, as someone who, when you were in your teens, worked at a Taco Bell.
Correct. Yes.
They've been advertising like crazy their five cravings thing. Do you know what I'm talking
about? Oh, the cravings box.
Yeah, yes. the $5
cravings box.
And in the commercial, some really hip-looking, millennial-looking, you know, 20-somethings are standing around after some party or whatever, and they're just so casual, and they're loving it, and they've got this box, and it opens, and inside of there is this perfectly stuffed box of a taco and a big mucho taco, whatever it's called, and then burrito and a nacho cheese
yeah.
thing. Mm-hmm. And the commercial's so organized and well made and all of that. And then they got a Baja Blast just off to the right. And I'm thinking, yeah, these people are cool. I want to live lives like them. So last night, kids were hungry and I'm like, we should probably eat. So I went to Taco Bell. Carter got some meatless, what are those things called that are normally like a cylinder all wrapped together? Not a cylinder,
burrito?
Like a flat. No, they're like flat. I don't mean cylinder. They're like round, circular. It's like a tortilla.
Oh, a tostada?
No, like that, but it's wrapped. Oh, no, maybe that's the name. Something wrap. Crunch wrap. That's it. Crunch wrap.
Crunch wrap. Okay, gotcha.
So she gets a crunch wrap, but meatless because she's a weirdo.
Sure.
And Nick gets his usual taco-rito or whatever it was. I say to myself, you know, I'm kind of craving a little from all the columns, so let's get the cravings box. I've heard so much about it, and that commercial was just so good at illustrating what fantastic little box I would get. I get it. Uh-huh. I buy it. We get home. We live near Taco Bell, so we get home. Did the drive up. Took the dog with us. She freaked out the whole time. Whatever. I mean, my dog, if you let her, wherever they keep the giant vat of sort of meat,
sure.
At that place,
she'd be all over it.
Oh
right?
My gosh! She'd eat herself to death, is what she'd do. So meat-ish. Yeah, it's kind of meat-ish, sort of. So anyway, we get home, and the kids got their things, and I open my box, and it is the most disheveled, thrown together, barely wrapped thing ever. And I mean, even like the burrito paper's kind of not all done. And
oh no! I mean, like you'd expect. Okay, well the nacho chips could probably fall out there. That's an open-ended bag, so the nacho chips probably could get all over the place in there. Probably crack a little bit, and have some shell fragments all over the place.
Sure.
At least the other individual items that are supposed to be individually wrapped, would be okay.
And normally those are individual items you can buy on their own. So I would have thought, like you're thinking, they should also be in that same condition inside of this box. And I didn't rough and tumble this thing on my way home or anything. Like, it's not like Elaine's bags that got sent to Hawaii or whatever because she wouldn't tip or whatever. Right. It wasn't like that. I was very careful. And when I got home, it looked like somebody had rifled through there looking for jewelry or something.
Did it look like it was a taco salad in a box with some bits of paper in it?
Kinda, yeah. Yes, actually. Little pieces of tissue everywhere, kind of. Now, the food inside was fine and no, you know, nothing wrong this morning, so I'm feeling fine. And it did solve whatever cravings I thought I had last night. But, guys, packaging matters. Freaking get it together over there. What's going on?
Yeah, for sure.
It might be this Taco Bell, because I've always told you how the one in St. George is impeccable.
Right. The one here in Arvada is really good. Like, I have no complaints about the Taco Bell here in Arvada, except, what was it? There was some dumb question that they asked me once.
Yeah.
I think it must have been somebody's first day, and I pulled up in the drive-thru, and I ordered, like, three things and a drink. And they actually asked me, would you like a bag?
Okay.
No, I'm just going to let those things like flop around on the seat next to me through their greasy paper and all that stuff.
It's a dumb question.
I want a bag.
Yeah, it's a dumb question. I don't like it. Also, I don't like when they ask me for how many of the sauces I want.
Oh, right.
It's like, what sauce do you want? I want fire, all of them. How many? I don't know, big handful? Well, yeah, I need to know how many.
Don't ask the quantity.
Yeah,
give
that's
me
terrible.
The appropriate number, which is two per item that you get, I think.
Look at you with the perfect. I think that's the perfect amount. That's very good. Yeah. I should have said, well, then you got to do math, though. It's like Nick's got a taco-rito. I got five things, I guess. I don't know what they all are.
On their screen, one of the very few things it tells them, except for reach in drawer, pull out money, hand money to customer, is a thing that says number of items ordered. The way that, like, the reason is so that they can do a really quick check, look in the bag, make sure, all right, they ordered five items, instead of saying, all right, did they get the gordita crunch? Mm-hmm. Did they get the flapjack flatbread guacamole stata thing, whatever? They can just say, oh, there are five things in the bag. Good. That's what I need to hand them.
Yeah.
And And then they can just apply that simple math and say, 5 items, 10 packets, a good handful. You don't have to worry about, like, counting out each individual packet.
Sure, but. Sure. Well, it was one of those things, and it was fine. Whatever. I ate it. It's fine. It's not, you know, it's not the best Taco Bell. There are better Taco Bells. I think it's a franchise thing.
Sure.
So if you're in charge, whoever owns the South Jordan Taco Bell, freaking get your poop together. You got a Del Taco right over there that's eating your lunch, literally.
Right.
You got all kinds of competition over there. All kinds of burger places, pizza stuff, all kinds of good food. Brand new barbecue thing that just opened. If y'all want to, you know, keep your head above water as a Taco Bell there, you need to up your game. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
I did notice this also, too, as I'm driving out of there. It occurred to me, for whatever reason, yesterday while in the drive-up, all the old Taco Bellisms flooded back to me, like they used to have that dog.
Oh yeah, yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah, the little Mexican dog, and then they had the phrase "run for the border."
Make a run for the border. Sure.
Now yep. I got a question about maybe both of those things, but mostly the run for the border bit. Since Taco Bell's really never been Mexican food.
No, I mean it's Mexican food inspired.
Is
but
it
inspired
though?
By Mexican food?
Okay, sure.
Sure. I mean,
tacos, I guess.
Tacos, burritos. They use words that are found in Mexico.
Okay.
Actually, probably not. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody is, in Guadalajara is saying Crunchwrap Supreme.
No, no, probably not. And so that's what it popped into my head. I went, what border did they mean? I mean, I know they meant the Mexican border.
Sure, sure.
But I feel like it should be Canada or something else, right? It should be, you know, the border with the ocean on the West Coast or something else. Because there's nothing Mexican about anything I ate last night. Nothing.
No. No, I mean, as we found out, the nachos even came from Ignacio Nacho, somebody who was preparing something for the wives of the dignitaries that were visiting or something. Right?
I love that how you've preserved his memory.
Sure.
Ignacio Nacho, Taco, whatever his name was.
Nacho Panza is the guy's name.
Well, anyway, Taco Bell. Catch it.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to give a quick shout out. Somebody sent me an email.
Here's the sad thing is.
Yeah.
The Taco Bell meal is probably going to be the best thing you eat over the next 5 days.
Oh yeah, no, you're not kidding. I think I might do. I'm going to try to make. We're going to try to make something tonight out of eggs and stuff. I don't know what it's going to be.
All right, good deal.
Yeah.
Let me know how that goes.
I will. I'll let you
all
know.
All right.
Here's the other bummer.
Emerald sounds like you've got it all worked out.
I'm going to yell bam. I'm going to freak everybody out with my amazing cooking. So here's the other thing I forgot to say. So Kim is on this cruise and she's opted not to get internet because she doesn't care. It's also just outrageously, stupidly expensive on these ships.
It's something like $29.99 a day or something ridiculous.
It's like
that.
Worse than a car rental.
Right.
And it'll
and
you
it's
know.
The slowest creep it along whatever.
Yeah, it's satellite. Yeah. It's like satellite internet. It's terrible.
Sure, sure.
So she's not doing that. She says I'll check in when I'm in any of the ports. I said okay, cool. She gave me a schedule of the ports. That's great. I know when she'll be there. So when she calls to just check in, I'll check in with her, and all of that. It's a little freaky in 2017 to not have constant contact, but we're just pretending like it's the 80s here. Nobody,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Not everybody was in contact all the time then, and it's okay now.
What did people do back then when they couldn't reach each other immediately with cell phones?
So now I just catastrophize and think, oh, what if I slipped in the shower and bonked my head? Who would know? Kids aren't here.
Well, I mean, neither of you are alone in the desert. Making your way to the next oasis. I mean, both of you have people around you. And
she's on a ship with 3,500 people. I'm in a city of, I don't know how many, 100,000. I don't know. Salt Lake's like 2 million, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I got options. There's a hospital right over there. Yeah. I just go.
Whoop. Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's not like any of those things are problems, but there's something about our constant contact that makes it, when it's gone, it makes you just a little anxious about it. It's weird. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I'll talk to her when she gets into ports and stuff. But that's made this harder because normally I could call her and go, honey, where's the key to the other car? Or why is the,
right.
Wanted to say, honey, is it weird that the rice in the fridge smells like socks? Like, should I throw it out or should I eat it? Like, I don't have her here to do that now. And then the backup plan is, well, Sarah would know, but she's with her.
She's with her.
And I can't call Steve. He can't call me. We're on our own, man. We got to raise these kids. Right. We got to do it right. We don't know what we're doing.
You're really going to have to fend for yourself.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. The least of my problems is that I'm streaming at 640p right now. So,
how do you make ice?
It's a damn fine question. Shout out to Robbie and Erica. Specifically Robbie, because I don't think Erica's listening, but Robbie wants her to listen. And he just sort of coyly sent an email that said, hey, you should mention her so I can get her to listen to the show. Maybe that's the way I can get her in. I'm actually going to do it. You thought I wasn't going to do it, Robbie. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, Erica, if you're listening, or if Robbie, if you're listening, pause the podcast. Go find her. Get her over there and say, hey, listen to this. They're talking about you. If that somehow gets her into the fold, then we've done our good work today.
That's right.
All right. So
I think Erica would enjoy listening to the trials and trepidations of you, sans Kim, and how you make your way in the world with the Taco Bells and rolled up hot dog tortilla things.
That's
that
right.
You make.
That's right. I'm making my way in the world today. It takes everything I've got.
Wouldn't it be great if you had a place
to get
for
away
all your worries? I think I accidentally merged the next two lines. Taking a break from all your worries would help a lot.
This reminds me of something. We have to talk about this. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you brought up Cheers. Okay.
All right. Okay.
I said on Twitter, I was watching TV Land because I get this free cable with my phone deal this year, and so we're like back in the world of occasionally watching things with commercials. I kind of hate it, but anyway, whatever. I'm watching TV Land because I like old TV shows. I think they're fun to watch. Yeah. And on comes Roseanne. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And I remember thinking much of Roseanne was funny, but I remember when I was younger thinking Roseanne looked bad because it was video and not film.
Oh, right. Yes.
And you know what I'm talking about. Like a lot of sitcoms were. Most sitcoms when you and I grew up were video and not film.
Right. But so it's like the smoother blur. It's like basically when you bring home your brand new LCD or plasma TV, everything looks like a soap opera from 1985.
This is all correct. Everything you're saying is correct.
And even when you change that to be the right way, sitcoms from the 80s and 90s will still look like a soap opera. From
absolutely right. So you've nailed it. You know what I'm talking about. And news looks like this. And Doctor Who back in the day looked like this. So you know what I'm talking about. It's like that. It's just ugly, weird frame ratey, shot to videotape kind of world that we lived in. And for many people, that was fine. But things like Cheers and Taxi and later Seinfeld and these kinds of shows were shot on film, not on video. And to me, that was like a huge cut above. It looked so much better, felt filmic, like it was made with film. Mm. Well, I have an app called Filmic, by the way. You should try sometime. It's awesome. It's a
Filmic.
Maybe I'll recommend that on the app thing. I never did, but it's like a you can shoot like a pro movie on that thing. It's amazing.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, and someone did like there's some movie that came out last year. I don't remember who did it, but somebody did their entire film with a single iPhone running Filmic, and you couldn't tell. Really?
Yeah, cool.
Looked amazing.
I can't wait to see that.
Anyway. What was my point? My point was, so film looked great to me, and still to this day, that's why I prefer everything. Now, digital has come along, and early digital looked like video, and it bugged me, but digital has gotten good at faking what it looks like to be film, and that's great. All in on that. No problem. You could take a DSLR, make a short film that looks like film, and that's awesome, right? We're faking it, but it's awesome.
Right.
So when I watch Roseanne and it's that old video thing, I don't think I can enjoy those shows anymore.
No, it's too
really
distracting to see that. You keep wanting to adjust the settings on your TV to fix that.
Yeah, it looks like me and my dad's JVC over-the-shoulder VHS tape recorder.
Right.
And it just looks bad. So seeing John Goodman or Roseanne do things, and it's a funny, it's funny.
Right.
Like freaking, what's his name? Norm MacDonald wrote for that show, for heaven's
sakes. Oh, I didn't realize that, really.
Yeah, he was hired by Roseanne to write, and he did, and he was great. And it's funny, and it captures a lot of interesting sort of everyday people dynamics that TV shows weren't used to doing. So I appreciate it on that, like, historical, important entertainment level and all that other stuff. But it looks like horse rash. It's bad. Yeah. So the reason I'm bringing it up here is to A, see if you know what I was talking about and if you agree with me. And then B, some people on Twitter are replying going, I don't see what the problem is. What's the difference? I can't tell the difference between this and Cheers. And I'm like, you can't tell the difference.
No, you should be able to tell the difference.
You have to tell.
Yeah.
OK, Can you not tell? Even YouTube videos of people talking to a camera going, hey guys, don't forget to like and subscribe, freaking all that. They look better because they have done all their little digital settings to make it look like film. So I don't understand where people are cool with this, or if they're cool with taking home their new LCD, like you said, and leaving that setting on.
Oh, I know. It drives me crazy. The crazy neighbors still have their TV set on.
Oh, tell them they're so wrong to do that.
I can't do it. I think they like it. They've gotten used to it. So now if I were to sneak over there when they were on a trip and change it, they'd come back and think their TV was broken.
And all those guys walking around their house with their Puff the Magic Dragon in their heads is just, they don't know what looks like what over there. We got to save one couple at a time. It's horrible.
Right, exactly.
If
I would have been able to do it right from the get-go and say, you know, that's still on like the really bad video settings from Best Buy or wherever.
Yeah, it's the factory.
Then
setting.
I might have been able to. But now, like, if I were to come over and say that, it's like, what, have you been like sitting on this information for a long time, Brian? Have you been secretly hating coming over and looking at our TV because of this, Brian?
Yeah, it would unfold from there. But when you see something like a Walking Dead episode playing on that, it looks like someone's audition tape. It's terrible.
It does. It looks like somebody's fan film.
It's awful. I know I'm right about this. Okay. Jupiter right. Jet. What the hell's that? What's that?
Jupiter Jet.
So, oh, right. The Ashley comic. Robinson, yeah, it's so
it
good.
Is a comic. Yeah. Ashley Robinson and Jason Inman from the Red Shirt Diaries wrote a comic. I can't remember the name of the guy who drew it. Dang it. But it's coming out. You can get it. You can pre-order it now from your comic book shop. And it'll arrive in December, I believe. Or you can go to jupiterjet.backerkit.com and pre-order your copy there. I got an advanced copy this last weekend. I read it. I loved it. And it's super cool.
Jupiter Jet. I got it as well, and it's awesome.
It is awesome. It's very Rocketeer. Like, if you like Rocketeer, mm-hmm. you'll like this. I think there's an art style that's very similar to Dave Stevens. Is
sure,
that right?
Sure. I think he's close to it. Also,
Jay Scott Campbell.
Oh yeah, very, very. It's hard to explain it. Actually, it's really good, very good. I thought it looked good when they were showing the prelim stuff back in the Kickstarter was running, but it looks mm-hmm. really great finished. So,
it really does.
Go out there and check that out. And also a reminder that this coming November 24th, Brian is doing his Coverthon again.
That's right. Coverthon's happening again a week from Friday, a week from this coming Friday. So you've got about 11 days to prepare yourself. I've got to prepare myself. However, it's going to be a little bit shorter than normal. It's going to be 16 hours instead of the regular 24 because nobody wants to go through that middle of the night crap, especially in Tina. So 16 hours, first thing in the morning till midnight, and we're going to raise some money for Alzheimer's research.
Nobody donates at 2 a.m.
Nobody donates at 2 a.m.
They're asleep. They just are sleeping. Right. And you're playing there some cover... of Toto.
Yeah, exactly. There will be a TMS as part of this. There will be a film sack thing as part of this, a Soundography, Pokemon Go podcast. Basically, all the shows that I'm part of will have a version on the show, as well as some other guests and stuff like that going on.
You get a double dose of me that day. You'll get a TMS PM thing deal, and then you'll also get a film sack. So it'll be great. And there's one other person who's on that, and he's coming up next. Oh my gosh.
He's doing what?
Wow, that was loud. Hold on. Yeah, everything. He's doing what? Are you okay? Okay, sound better now. What was that sound?
Let me tell you something about the Android Skype app.
All right.
It sucks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Does it do the whole, hey, we haven't heard you talk yet, so we're going to amp this up to a billion? Before you say anything,
that's exactly what it does. And then if you plug in a headset, mm-hmm. it just goes, I'm going to amp it up the entire time. So I'm not in a headset today. I just got this. And we're starting a little later today. So I was actually outside on my lunch, walking around.
Nice. Yeah, you actually sound great now. It just, like, when you first answered, it sounded like you left the phone sitting on top of your car and you went through a car wash.
Yeah. It was
super loud. What I was doing as well. But yeah. I mean, hear what you hear.
Oh, I see. Well, that's better than you peeing or whatever. I had that guy in Current Geek that time come all the way. He was on the show for 20 minutes on the freeway, got out of his car, walked into the house, took a pee, heard everything, heard the whole thing.
I love it. Yeah. I'm like Frank Drebin in that, you know, Police Squad movie, Naked Gun movie, where he's got the microphone still attached to him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was pretty good. pretty good. If you want to be a part of today's Stump Dunaway, you can call 801-285-9395. Brian's got a rad prize package for just for you.
Do. 801-285-9395.
Brian Dunaway, of course, here on loan from his life. We just borrow him from his life for an hour. Yeah.
Or, we try to return him in as good condition as we borrowed him.
Yeah.
But
so you know. Far, you haven't done a good job.
That's right.
I'm like one of those clearance items at Walmart.
Mm.
My card's all beat up.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to debate. It's like, I don't know. Is that expired? Probably.
You guys remember a time when Walmart only existed down there for you guys? Like the South had Walmart way sooner than the rest of us up here did. I don't know if you remember
those.
I remember those days.
I remember that. Yeah. The other rest of the country was like, we don't want that thing here. Keep it away from us.
Yeah. Cause it started, what was it? Arkansas or no? Yeah. Was it Arkansas? Yeah. I think it was an Arkansas company. Still is. Yeah. And they hadn't expanded. So when I was like 16, there's no Walmart. It was all Kmart where I lived. And then
we just got rid of our Super K this past year.
Oh yeah, that must have felt good, like taking a big dump.
Yeah. I was like, get out of here, Super K.
just wait for a call, 801-285-9395. If you are our caller, you get to win
Scott.
Rad stuff. Yes, Brian.
While we wait on that, can I shame you a little bit? How about a little game shame?
All right, give me some
game shame. Uh-oh.
Give it.
Well, it's not nothing serious. It's I was on the Steam account over the weekend, I'm friends with you, and you've been playing a lot of Dota 2, apparently.
What?
You've been on it for 3 days.
I haven't played
Dota 2.
You've
been on it for 3 days.
I haven't played Dota 2 in years. That's not me. Who's playing Dota 2 on my account? That's freaking me out now.
I don't know, man, but every time I'm like, seeing you're on the Dota 2, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. But I was also purchasing the great deal they had this week for the Klee Entertainment Pack, which is the whole Don't Starve series.
Yeah.
And so I was grabbing that, and I was thinking, oh, remember, Scott loves Don't Starve, but he has 0 hours logged on Shipwrecked.
Yeah, my kids play Shipwrecked. I don't have Shipwrecked. Or I
have. You have it.
Oh, do I have it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know I had it. I must have bought like a 3-pack. My kids are way into it. I'm not as into that game, really, as some people think I was. I'll tell you the Klee game I like the most. There's two games Klee makes that I cannot say enough about, okay? One is that ninja game. What was it called? Shadow of the Ninja.
Yeah.
Shoot, whatever it is. 2D.
Oh, the three-quarter, the orthogonal view one.
Nope, that's Invisible Ink, and that one's also good.
Okay.
Invisible Ink
is that was really cool.
That's an amazing game. One of my favorite games ever. Great iPad version. PC version's great.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Killer game. It was very close to being my game of the year in 2015, and it's still great today. And then you got this other one, this ninja one. Something of the Ninja. Night Scroll of the Ninja.
Mark of the Ninja?
Mark of the Ninja. That's it.
Yeah, Scott's favorite game.
I love
what it's called. Mark of the
Mark of the something.
Cravings Box of the Ninja is what it's called.
Nobody has called us. I don't know why. Maybe I should test the number and just make sure it's okay. Because sometimes that happens where, and it wouldn't be surprising.
Somebody said they were calling. Coder JMC said it was ringing, and
I'm not getting anything. That's weird. Hold on, let's see.
I've noticed that whenever when we change the time, we always have trouble with callers calling in. I'm not sure if it's something Scott's doing.
Yeah.
Or if it's something Scott's doing.
Well, it could be something Scott's doing.
Or something Scott's not doing.
So I'm calling it now. Let's see what happens when I call it.
En este momento no se puede realizar.
What?
There's your answer right there, Mr. Johnson.
What? Wait
Sounds
a minute.
Sounds like you outsourced your Scat phone.
How does this work? I pay for this number. Hold on. 285-9395. Let's hear the entire conversation again. All right, here we go. All right, it's not working, but it's ringing. All right. This is going to be really annoying if it's... Someone kifed my number somehow. How would that work?
I don't know.
I mean, we're on Skype right.
Your call cannot be completed at this time. Please try again later.
Oh, great. So does that mean Skype's number system thing is down? That must be it. Oh, that's poo. All right. Just for fun, I'm going to open up the I'm going to open up the Discord, see if anyone's in there. And then if that doesn't work, I don't know what to do. We just pick our butts. What do we do?
Tell you what, Coder JMC, do me a favor and send me a private message in Twitch chat, and let me know your Skype handle, and then Scott will call you. Does that work?
Yeah, that'd work. Okay. Except, hold on, don't do it yet.
Okay,
don't do it yet. I bet it's Coder MC.
Oh, I found him, Coder J, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I'm gonna see if we can get him up in here. Hold on.
Okay.
All waiting room. I'm gonna put him in AFK, and I'll go in there with him.
Okay.
Hello.
How long does that song go on, Ibit? Because we've been using that one.
Okay, here we go. Hold on. Okay. Hi. Is this Coder J?
It is.
Oh my gosh, did we make this work somehow? This is insane. Sorry about all the confusion. Oh, his voice, you're really mumbly on your Skype-y. Microphone.
Skype-y is the word you're looking for.
Is it not mumbly is the word? That's not the word?
I don't know. I'll go with mumbly.
Distorted.
Hot mumbly.
Say something for me again.
Might be my connection. I don't know.
That sounds like a mic thing. It's weird. But it's good enough. It's good enough. Hey, thanks for being a part of this. We're going to play a little game here called Stump Dunaway. Brian Ibbett's going to explain the rules. We're going to go for it. Brian, how's it work?
That's right, Coder J. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to that trivia question is going to be a number. Brian is going to give his guess, which is, again, in the form of a number. I can't stress it enough. It's a number. We're then going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win a Hellboy Right Hand of Doom ceramic bank. This is really cool. It's like a ceramic bank that looks like Hellboy's hand, and a copy of Mushroom Wars on the aforementioned Steam. You'll get that right away if you win. All of this if you are correct with your guess. Today's topic is The Office.
The show The Office. By the way, Mushroom Wars 2, a sequel to the fantastic original, even.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Is that a sequel?
Yeah.
Is that...
Yeah.
How sequels work?
Well, he didn't say two when he said it, did he?
I did. I said Mushroom Wars 2.
Oh, he said, maybe I thought you meant also.
Oh, I thought you meant as well.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I thought you meant.
Sorry. You will get a copy of Mushroom Wars.
This is why,
Dose.
Dose, got
this
it.
This is why I think we need to get rid of the word two anyway, because it's just a replacement word. Yeah. Just get rid of it.
I agree.
It just causes
I agree. It's a bad piece of English. You're not wrong. Yeah. All right, Brian, here's your question. Michael Scott from The Office once created a sweet pretzel with every topping available. How many toppings were on this pretzel? And the hint I will give you is that it is somewhere between 6 and 35.
Mm. Right. I actually saw this episode the other day. I watched The Office usually about once or twice a week. It's usually in my rotation. I actually added WKRP in Cincinnati this week into my rotation. Because
what's
I've got to watch...
On?
Yeah, it's on,
Hulu.
Hulu's got them all.
It's on Hulu? Oh, I'm so watching that.
Yeah, WKRP, Taxi, all that stuff's on Hulu now, so totally worth getting.
Yeah, and you got to catch the Thanksgiving episode where Les Nessman talks about
the
turkeys.
God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
That was like season one, episode 7. I couldn't believe it was so early on.
Yeah.
Classic.
Totally, yeah.
How long did that series run? Like a couple of years? I don't remember. Was it long?
Three seasons, I think.
Three, four, maybe.
Four seasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Lonnie Anderson hooked up with Burt Reynolds.
I was more of a Bailey Quarters guy. It's such a crush on Bailey Quarters.
I had a way bigger crush on Bailey Quarters. I did as well. She was way more my speed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other one. It actually says a lot about my tastes. I'm zero, and I think Brian's as well. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not into the whole like too made up looking thing. You know?
No.
And by looking thing, I don't mean I'm not calling a girl a thing. I'm saying I'm attracted to is not overdoing that. I like simple and
like the girl
pretzels.
Next door.
Yeah, girls next door. There you go.
Not, pretzels. Let's talk pretzels.
Yeah,
please.
Pretzels.
So let's talk about pretzels. Yeah. Let's get away from the lady talk and talk about pretzels. So your estimation was between how many and how many again?
I forgot. Oh, 5 and 30.
6 and 38.
Oh, 6. Sorry, 6 and 38.
6 and 38. The number of pretzel flavors he put on there was 26.
26 flavors or toppings. Brian Ibbett, is that the right number?
26 toppings is incorrect. Coder J, is the actual number higher or lower than 26?
26 seems high. I don't even see how you put that many. I say lower.
You're going to say lower. All right. Well, let's find out if lower is indeed the correct answer. Is it lower?
Congratulations.
It's totally lower.
Right. You're a winner.
But not by much. 18 is the number. Here's the list. Sweet glaze, cinnamon sugar, chocolate, white chocolate, fudge, M&M's, caramel dip, mint chip, chocolate chip, marshmallows, nuts, toffee nuts, coconut, peanut butter, drizzle. Or it was my wrestling name in high school. Oreos, sprinkles, cotton candy bits was also my name, and powdered sugar, which was
peanut drizzle is all over that guy.
Yeah, 18.
I love
is the
fact
answer.
That the whole thing is topped with powdered sugar.
Totally. Congratulations. All you have to do is send an email to Brian Nibbitt at coverville@gmail.com. That's coverville@gmail.com. Congratulations on winning. Brian Dunaway, well done. You've made somebody very happy today. And you've also been a real trooper working with us as we try to figure out why our phone number doesn't work anymore. So there you go.
Well, it's not a big deal. Hey, Scott, are we doing that show we do where we do the games?
We are. Boop show today at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time Zone right here at frogpants.tv. If you want to watch us live, of course, there's the podcast version you can find at frogpants.com/BOOP. And we'll have all kinds of cool stuff to talk about, including your time in Don't Starve. Bye, you weirdo.
Don't start.
Oh, I cut him off. I didn't mean to do that. It's just the way it worked. All right, before we move on, a reminder that this episode is brought to you by our friends at LinkedIn Learning. They're now featuring content from lynda.com, the leader in online learning for the last 20 years. 20 years. LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, for achievers, for people who want to make things happen. Maybe you want to learn about cryptocurrency, like me. I'm still bad at that. Sharpen your Excel skills or master QuickBooks. Everything you need to accomplish more. Or accomplish more of, is in LinkedIn Learning. Whether you work in accounting, run your own company, just want to be a better manager of your money, LinkedIn Learning helps you upgrade your financial aptitude. And they have courses on financial foundations, including business valuation, income taxes, risk management, courses on running a profitable business, and accounting foundations, plus weekly series on finance and accounting tips, as well as personal finance. All the kind of stuff I need real bad. I really like it. I use it a lot for, like I've mentioned before, for my Adobe stuff. And you might find something there that you're going to love. If it's not accounting, if it's not financial, it'll be something else. And don't worry, there are no hidden charges or upsells. All the courses you want for one low monthly price. And it's available worldwide. Learn from anywhere. We've got a special deal for you. Get a free 30-day trial with LinkedIn Learning today by visiting linkedin.com/TMS. That's linkedin.com/TMS. Brian, the news is brought to us by who?
By you, Scott. There's a brand new 2018 art calendar on the store, right? What is the deal with that?
What's the deal?
What's the deal with the art calendar?
Here's the deal. If you go to frogpants.com and click on the store link, you will find, I did this last year as well. Actually, we've done it most years for the last 3 or 4 years, but we'll do some sort of, sometimes it's themed, sometimes it's just random art. This year's one of those. It's a 2018 calendar that is full of artwork that I've done over this year. And it's a kind of weird, random mix of things. You'll notice like some stuff that is semi-famous or things that are about robots or whatever. Cool. So if you want to go check that out, that's available now at frogpants.com/store, or you can just click the store link at frogpants.com. 12 months of individual artwork per month, and of course, a useful calendar, all part of that. Again, that's frogpants.com/store.
Very cool.
Disneyland. Boy, now this story is important because this is all about right around the time you and I were kind of there.
That's right. Exactly. Yes.
Kind of freaks me out. Disneyland shuts down cooling towers after Legionnaires' disease cases popped up.
First off, did you know that Disneyland had cooling towers? I thought like the Death Star had cooling towers. I had no idea Disneyland had them.
I assume it's like, is it the stuff outside that blows mist on you? Is that the thing? That must be what those are, right?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, that would make sense.
I think that's what
that
is.
For some reason, I was thinking like it keeps it filters out the heat from their little underground tunnel system.
But
I'm thinking you're right.
That's a good point. Yeah, because the heat, well, who knows? Either way, I guess it could spread. It could spread the disease.
Right.
But you don't hear about Legionnaires' disease very often anymore. But in Southern California, in Anaheim, they had an outbreak, and they turned those off because of it. Orange County health officials said 9 people who visited Anaheim's theme park in September develop the disease.
1 month after we went.
Yeah.
By the way, they are saying it's part of the AC systems, not the misting.
Oh.
Deal.
So where's the AC, like inside of rides and stuff? Like in those areas?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
I was in a lot of those.
Yeah, going into the Hall of Progress, Avengers, whatever it is now, or I guess it's Star Wars stuff in there now.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, the Indiana Jones one, the line where you're like wrapping up through the cave, smelled bad in there.
Maybe that was it. Maybe it was you're smelling some Legionnaire's disease in there.
Some Legionnaire was laying there with his disease.
It would be appropriate. I mean, it seemed like Indiana Jones and the Legionnaire's disease.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Says
here an additional three people who had been to Anaheim but not Disneyland also got sick, says Jessica Good, a spokeswoman for the Orange County Healthcare Association, agency. One patient who had not visited the park and had additional health issues died. The 12 patients were between the ages of 52 and 94, whew, and 10 were hospitalized, according to Dr. Pamela Heimel.
Mm-hmm.
My mouse is over it. Looked like it might have been a K. Chief Medical Officer for Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. I love that they have a Chief Medical Officer there.
Right? Yeah, no kidding. What is your medical emergency?
What is the nature of your... I don't know. That would be amazing. There's a hologram. Oh, my gosh. The towers were shut down after Disney was contacted by the Health County deal October 27th about increased Legionnaire cases. We've conducted a review and turned off the towers. The towers were treated with chemicals that destroy the bacteria and currently shut down. We have proactively shared this information with the appropriate agency and given our actions. They have indicated there's no longer any known risk associated with our facilities. So wow. I'm kind of glad that we were there a month before that and a month after that.
Right, exactly.
You know,
well, we didn't do Disneyland that trip, but yes, definitely. I mean, it's funny. Disneyland has not had a good year for a place that is only closed like twice in the last decade.
Yep.
The fact that one was because of the fires recently, and then they had some problems with these cooling towers. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary.
Yeah. What's next? The cryogenically freeze body of Walt Disney himself is going to wash up in the log flume ride.
I hope they're keeping that thing cold. You know, you don't want that to start thawing out.
Yeah. Welcome to what's the swamp thing called again? The boat.
Oh,
thing.
Jungle Cruise.
Welcome to the Jungle Cruise, everybody. We'll notice to your left the bobbing, semi-decayed corpse of Uncle Walt.
Of Walt Disney.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
What would be the pun? They'd have to come up with some pun as they go by it. Like,
what would it be? Geez. What would it be? Steamboat. They have to call Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie. That's it. Steamboat Willie. That's the joke. Well done. The BBC is in the news. Yes. They do things.
Sure.
That's the British Broadcasting Company. Accidentally quoted hardcore gay porn on a Trump article. That was a site that they quoted, but not necessarily the porn in question.
Oh, okay, good. Because I can't imagine. Trump was reported to have said, "Hey, I'm here to deliver a pizza. Who wants this pizza?"
I make the best pizza.
I've got a UPS package for you.
The BBC brought in critics from social media over Trump's outbursts on Twitter as his former campaign manager was charged with conspiracy against the United States. Paul Manafort was asked to surrender himself, blah, blah, blah. We know that whole story. Let's see. They apparently didn't know that it was a hardcore website that does gay porn that they were quoting, which claims to produce the best gay adult entertainment on the planet. After commenting on Trump's Twitter tirade about Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party, the BBC reported critics on Twitter were quick to accuse him of attempting to divert attention from the Russian investigation, blah, 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 blah. Now, I have actually a bigger complaint about this whole issue, and this is why, because it bites you in the butt. It is not news to report, and I've been the subject of this before, where my tweets were used in some article on BuzzFeed or something as examples of outrage or of comments on Twitter. That isn't news. People's talking on social media about a thing that happened isn't news. So when an entire news article is about people reacting.
People on Twitter react to something. That's not an article that somebody not doing their job.
But they do it all the time. And every news outlet does this. They all do it. CNN does it. Fox News does it. And everything in between does it. They all have these articles like, Oh, there was a real dust up on Twitter today. Here's some examples. That's freaking lazy.
It's filler. Yeah.
It's filler and it's lazy. Don't be so lazy. Mm-hmm. Fake news. All right. Walmart. We were just talking about them, didn't we? Yeah, we just talked about Walmart a little bit.
We did just talk about Walmart.
Mm-hmm. They are refunding money to a buyer who said he got an iPad box. It was supposed to have an iPad in it, but it had a bunch. It just had flour in it.
Damn. Yeah. Wow. That's rough.
Could have been cocaine.
That's like Craigslist, not mm-hmm. Walmart. Like, yeah. That's where you expect something like this is Craigslist.
Sure. But usually it's like heroin or cocaine or something in there. Walmart has refunded money to a Western Washington state woman. Western Washington state woman. What's her power? What power are you
afraid to tell people that she's actually from Seattle, so says that she's from Western Washington State. Excelsior.
Thank you, Stanley. Perfect.
Doesn't want to get judged is her power.
Oh, that's very nice.
You silly person.
Says she bought, oh, I thought it was a he, but whatever. She bought an iPad and found a bag of flour in the box instead. Walmart on Friday returned the $400 to Charlene Nelson of Vancouver. Oh, well, Vancouver's not Washington State at all, is it?
No. Maybe she was, yeah, okay, I was going to say, maybe she came down to Seattle, she crossed the border, went to Walmart, but she's of Vancouver, and they said a Western Washington State woman.
Yeah,
so.
They got that wrong. Good job, U.S. News and World Report. You guys kick ass.
Oh, there's a Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, I assume Vancouver, well, the funny thing is, where's Vancouver?
Vancouver, yeah, it's not, I think it's Eastern.
Canadians are pissed right now. They're pissed. Right, I don't blame them. Anyway, it says it appreciates customers notifying them so they can quickly resolve issues like this. She said she bought the device last week from a Walmart store in Portland, Oregon. Now we're in Portland. We're all over the place.
It's actually, this place is north of Portland. So that actually is appropriate. That is correct.
Okay. So just north of Portland. Got it. Right.
Vancouver is in British Columbia. So it's actually just north of the Washington state border. So it is, you know, right over. That's where we actually went when we went on our cruise to Alaska. Mm. One of our stops was Vancouver. So
well, at the end of the day, we don't even need to pigeonhole these people. They're from Earth. They're from the human race.
Why do we need labels, right? Is that what you're saying?
No.
We don't need labels.
Who needs addresses or labels or any kind of, you know,
oh my God,
registered names? Forget it. We're all just hippies.
Canadians, I am so sorry that we do not know, that we can't readily pull out where your cities are.
I know where they are. You got Ontario's across the street from Toronto, right?
Right. Well, Toronto is a city in the Ontario province.
Okay, and then you got the French Canadian people over there in the, what's that called? It's
Saskatchewan.
No, that's on the other side. It's the eastern side.
Saskatchewan's more central.
Quebec.
It's like north,
that's
of
what I meant. So you got Quebec. You got Quebec, and they're hanging out over there with some other Ottawa places. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing over there, up there. We're not very. Listen, I mean,
Newfoundland over on the far east side. You got.
Yeah.
St. John?
Sure.
New Brunswick?
Sure. Where are the Trailer Park Boys? Are they east or west? I don't actually know that.
I think I should know that.
I feel like they're west, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Some Canadian will know. Oh, yeah, Calgary. They got Flames.
they do the Calgary Flames,
yeah,
yes.
Sometimes they do Olympics and things there.
That's right. Oh, they're how? Okay, so if the Trailer Park Boys are Halifax, yeah, then that's in the Nova Scotia part, which is east.
Ah, okay. I knew a Nova Scotian back in the day.
Did you?
Yeah, no? they're a mysterious race of people up there in Canada. I kid. I have a lot of Canadian friends and listeners. I'm joking. It's all a big joke. You're not a joke. We love you. You're great. You fit right on top of us, or we fit right underneath you. I don't know which it is. We're the submissives.
Oh, who are the couple that we said listen to, Erica and Robbie? I hope neither Erica nor Robbie are Canadian.
No, I think they're just dumb Americans like us.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know if they're dumb.
Sorry,
everybody. All right, let's see. That's that lady. We're done with her. Hey, did you ever think mayonnaise was disgusting?
No, I'm the pro mayonnaise on a sandwich guy. I like a BLT with crispy bacon on it, some lettuce, some tomato, and a swipe of mayo on the toast.
Okay. then, well, we may have to bring this up again tomorrow with Jerry because he thinks mayo is the sickest thing ever made.
Right, anybody. It's the spawn of the devil, sure.
Sure.
Right.
Well, we have some science now to back Jerry up, so he's going to have some ammo for you.
Okay.
For much of the past year, this person who wrote this article said, I fought a one-sided battle with a popular fast casual restaurant chain that we will call Ready. Unlike most restaurants, Ready doesn't make sandwiches, assemble salads, or otherwise perform acts of cookery upon customer request. Instead, they sell nominally healthy, whole ingredient-based pre-made soup, salads, and sandwiches. Hmm. Because I'm lazy and impatient, yeah. I'm Ready's perfect customer, and not just because Ready has... I'm skipping ahead here. Okay. This is popular... By the way, Popular Science Magazine printed this.
Sure, okay. And I'm wondering, then, if they're calling it Ready, I wonder if it's something like Panera or... You know, they're hiding the name, but okay.
Who do you think has like a mayonnaise style sandwich that's always ready? Would Panera be good?
I don't know. And I'm wondering if, you know, if Ready is a synonym for the name of the restaurant that he's talking about. I mean, he's saying soups, salads, and sandwiches. So it's not like Red Robin. He's playing with Ready, Red Robin.
No.
And
it wouldn't be like Zupas is what he's describing, except they make it in front of you, so it's not pre-made. Yeah.
I mean, the description sounds like Panera, but I don't know. I don't think that at least the Panera around me don't slather everything with mayo. So,
well, he does say this.
Yeah,
he says the problem is that Ready saturates almost every sandwich with a miasma of mayonnaise. I love this. When Ready doesn't use mayonnaise, they use a yogurt dressing that is mayonnaise for some people. Who are ashamed that they're eating mayonnaise. The shame is justified. The yogurt dressing is not. Sometimes Ready uses a less vile condiment, like a whole grain mustard, a condiment with dignity. But when they do, the powers that can be, or can't, that cannot allow it its presence to go unmolested. So, mustard sometimes gets mixed in with the mayonnaise, which is an abomination, he says. They call it mustard mayo. Mixing sriracha with diarrhea doesn't improve the presence of the latter. Why would you add mustard to Satan sauce? This person obviously has a thing.
A bone to pick with mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to get down to the part where...
He needs to go to the Mayo Clinic.
There. See? Ah, you got it. Nah, you nailed it. Here it says, theories of disgusting foods are contaminating. Blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to find the science.
I have not found any yet.
Let's see. Beyond mayonnaise. There's a reason rooted in food science to include mayonnaise on sandwiches. Moist food tastes better. The moisture helps the saliva in your mouth work more effectively and carries more flavors than dry foods. But mayonnaise isn't the only food that can do the job. A little bit of olive oil would do it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. He doesn't offer any actual science.
So I wonder if he doesn't like eggs. Because, I mean, the primary ingredient or the two primary ingredients of mayonnaise are egg yolk and oil.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can use olive oil. I don't see why you couldn't use olive oil.
Yeah,
maybe he needs to switch to aioli.
Oh, yeah. Aioli's, what is that? That's like a...
It's mayonnaise with a fancy name.
But it's the same stuff?
I think it's the same stuff.
What is aioli? We're going to look this up. What is the difference between mayonnaise and aioli? Chowhound has the answer. Let's find out what they say. They say...
Oh, with garlic.
Oh, is that the deal?
I think so. What does your thing say?
My source says there's a certain type of restaurant. Oh my gosh, this one's also. You know what, food people, you talk too much. Seriously, it's like 9 paragraphs. I'm not going to read that.
What's a foodie?
Okay, here's another one. What's the difference between mayonnaise and aioli? This is a little shorter. It looks like mayonnaise, but if it were mayo, they'd call it mayo. It's delicious, spreadable, dippable, and sometimes. Would make a great homemade ranch dressing, but it's not mayonnaise. So what's the difference between mayonnaise and aioli? Mayonnaise, loosely defined, is an emulsion of neutral flavor coming from oils like canola, egg, yolk, vinegar, and or lemon juice, and sometimes a dash of powdered mustard to bring out the flavor and help the emulsion stay together. Aioli, sure. On the other hand, hails from southern France. It's an area called Provence. It begins not in a blender, but with a mortar and pestle or those little, you know, the little grindy deals, right?
No, I know. I'm just like, again, this article could just get right to the point and say mayo contains these ingredients, aioli contains these other ingredients.
Yeah. Cause basically it's again, the same stuff just made in a different way. Freaking Foodies. I don't like foodies sometimes. Foodies are lame. Right. They're like, they just want to talk your ear off, and it's
Widget E33, I think, nails it. Aioli is mayonnaise with a scarf.
Take that, Patrick.
Yes.
Take that. All right. That's going to do it. Let's take a break. When we come back,
sure.
We'll major spoilers up this joint. We'll also talk to the Trek nerd about last night's Star Trek Discovery finale.
So good.
Which I didn't see.
You will. You will see it, Scott.
Oh, I'll see everything. Yeah. I watched the whole episode of the whole first episode of the Orville. Yeah, I'll tell you what I thought when we get around to it. Yeah. I didn't just end with blue guys squirting goo on his face.
By the way, did you see who that blue guy was in an uncredited role?
No.
It was Rob Lowe.
Shut up.
I'm serious.
That was Rob Lowe?
Apparently so, yeah.
How perfect.
I didn't recognize him either until
how perfect was it that he's getting caught in bed with somebody like that? I remember those stories. All right, we're going to do all that in a minute.
Literally the funniest thing in the first minute of that.
Literally.
Episode. Literally the funniest thing.
Stop pooping. All right, let's do what we do. What do you got here for me? Song, maybe?
I have a song. I have an indie in the middle that comes to us as a request from a listener named Green Apple Sam. He is not only a requester, he is a friend of the artist. He is not only a friend of the artist, Scott, he is a backing vocalist on this song. Oh. Chris Church, an outstanding indie artist whose musical talents and songwriting skills are amazing. He's also an amazing dude and the best kind of friend, says Green Apple Sam. Aw, well, cool. This is from Chris Church's brand new album called Limitations of Source Tape. It's a song called Something Completely, and it again features the requester Green Apple Sam on backing vocals.
Very nice. Let's play it. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
But I'm getting
doesn't love BarkBox? Not me. I love BarkBox. And you will too. It's a subscription service that delivers a selection of treats and toys for your dog right to your door every month. All you have to do is tell BarkBox how big your dog is. I told him mine was like a weird little mix of stuff. And then choose a monthly plan subscription. You can cancel any time, by the way. There's no big contracts or anything. Every month, BarkBox picks paw picks. Get it? The best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies, heavy chewer preferences, that sort of stuff. Like the BarkBox I get is very different than the one my daughter gets for her dog, Izzy, who's a great big pit bull. And mine's just a little weenie dog. And, you know, it's not all going to be the same every time. They're all different dogs. Each monthly box is themed, like County Fair, Bark Ball, Pooh York City. New and unique toys continue to keep the dog engaged, interested, and happy, and they'll do free shipping on any BarkBox within the continental U.S. Free shipping! When your dog falls in love with something from the box, you can easily reorder it again at BarkShop.com or in the BarkBox app, if you can get on your smartphone. I really like it. Rainer took to it immediately. They sent a bunch of toys for Rainer. She loved them all. And it was great. Dog loved anything she could chew on. That was her main thing. And anything that had anything resembling a beef flavor in those treats, she was all up on. Very excited. Now, when the box arrives, she flips out. Gets excited. She knows what's up. It's shipped right to your door. It's a great way to try a variety of treats and toys and all that stuff. So go check it out. BarkBox.com/TMS will give you a free extra month if you sub to a 6 or 12-month plan. That's BarkBox.com/TMS for a free extra month. It's hard to do better than that, folks. Check it out. You'll love it. Your dog will love it. My dog really likes it.
Boy, I've driven with deer, antelope, even bears strapped to that bumper. Ain't no 65-pound sack of fly shit like you gonna shake me a hella different.
Om Mani Padme Hum.
Ladies, we heard you. This is the morning stream.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
Hello.
Well, hi, Scott. That was Chris Church. Again, the song Something Completely. And Limitations of Source Tape is the album to go look for. When he started singing Absolutely in that song, I swear to God, I was thinking of how I used to say that a lot during early days of TMS, to the point where Scott Fletcher recorded a whole thing of me going, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, yes. That's what Fletcher does, you know? He comes in and reminds you who's boss.
Yes.
He should be worshipped at his feet or something to that effect.
I worship at his feet. Why, you don't?
Why not? From the dusty trails of Hayes, Kansas, comes one man who can save us all. It's Stephen Schleicher, everybody. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Scott.
Almost good afternoon.
Good morning, Brian.
Well, it's actually
good
afternoon for you.
It's afternoon here, yeah.
Yeah, you're an hour later, but thank you for being so...
It's not afternoon yet. It's 11:59 here.
Yeah, this is true. You're very flexible today. Thank you for that.
I'm always flexible.
Yeah, I like that.
Unless I need to touch my toes.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I've never, even when I was a kid and I was way more flexible, I've never been able to touch my toes. Is that weird?
No, I can't do it either.
Yeah, I think it's a height thing. I really do. Like, everyone's like,
no,
you're not.
It's a need to do more stretches
yes,
and stuff.
Need to
thing.
Do more stretches.
Do you think, though, at our age, you think we can
yes,
get to
you
a
can
place?
Do it. You can do it.
Okay,
I'm working on it.
I'm going to try right now.
I'm about an inch from the floor.
I am about a foot from my toe tips. That's as far as I can go. If I lock my knees and stand straight up like this.
Yeah, that's how you're supposed to do it.
And if I really go, I just can't Stephen do it. I can't even get close. Again. Can't even get there. Yeah, maybe
6 inches from my toes. That's about as close as I can get.
See, you're better than me. I'm some kind of weird, stiff piece of crap. Yep. Hey, Steven, it's always good to have you on talking the nerdy stuff about comic books and pop culture and all that.
Oh,
A big thing happened, and it was since we last spoke, and this is such a big deal that it feels weird that we didn't have a chance to talk about it. But Brian Michael Bendis is now exclusive to DC Comics. This is the equivalent of, let me think of a good one. This is like
Steve Ditko.
I know.
Like Jack Kirby leaving Marvel.
Yeah.
And going to DC
or even
Comics
even better. It's like if it's like putting a Mario game on an Xbox.
Right.
Right,
it's crazy to me that he is not Marvel exclusive now, and that he is now literally exclusive to DC Comics. What happened
it's
there?
Like Ariana Huffington writing for CNN.
Exactly. I assume he got a really good deal.
I'm sure that it's a really, really good deal. The weird thing, there's a lot of weird things about this. First of all, there's not been an official press release from DC Comics or Warner Brothers talking about this deal, which makes me think that it came about very, very quickly. The only way that we found out about it was that the DC Twitter feed last Monday, shortly right before our show, our talk together last week, came out and said that, hey, we're thrilled to announce that Brian Michael Bendis has signed a multi-year, multifaceted deal with us. We can't wait to have him working on the first projects, and then Bendis following up saying, yep, this is true. Mm. And then the internet lost its stuff.
Yeah. But at that point, we didn't know it was exclusive, right? But we know that
no,
now.
No, they did say it was an exclusive.
Oh, they did.
It's definitely exclusive, yeah. And right. So the interesting thing about this is, you know, people have questions about, so what book is he going to be working on? What is this multifaceted deal about? And, you know, a lot of speculation that's going on out there, and we haven't, you know, Bendis is pretty quiet. He says that he's been doing a lot of reading. Of course, he's been a DC reader for years. But if you look at his stack of stuff, it's pretty clear that he is probably going to end up on a Justice League book sometime in 2018.
Yeah.
That's probably the most obvious. But the other thing is, there may be some speculation on him having a tighter deal with Geoff Johns over at DC Films to do more writing and do more creative work there. He was part when he was over at Marvel. He was part of the writer's room that were doing a lot of the extended credit scenes and weighing in on some of the films. I mean, he was the one that was credited as bringing the Samuel L. Jackson tag at the end of the Iron Man movies, et cetera. And once Feige and Perlmutter had their split, that kind of cut off the Marvel writers from doing any movie stuff. So this may be a kind of a movie deal for him as well. Again, we really don't know because everyone's being pretty tight-lipped about it. And of course, there were so many other things that happened last week that kind of put this, you know, on Monday it was a big deal, and then by Tuesday everyone was on to something else.
You know, right. I've got my new band.
The
I'm
short
starting.
Attention span of the internet. What? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Right? I started.
But this
a
is
new,
a big, big deal.
I started a new band called Splitting the Perlmutter. That's not really important to this discussion, but I just wanted to mention that. Secondly, big deal. Like, it feels like a big enough deal that when they say multifaceted, they are not just saying comics. I agree with you that there's probably a hand in all the things they want to do with movies and television and continue to do and also do better and do, you know, in the future. Early reviews of Justice League are interesting. People are saying it's way better than the previous films.
Well,
but that's not
probably
still
not
problematic.
Better than, probably not better than Wonder Woman, though. I think Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
across the board. Love.
They mean the two Batman.
They mean
Superman
Batman
deals.
Superman.
Yeah, they mean that.
Yeah, so I don't know what he's going to be working on. I mean, it'd be interesting to see him work maybe on a Teen Titans or a Legion of Superheroes book. But what are some books that you would like to see him work on?
Don't you want to see an Ultimate Superman and Ultimate Batman? And because wasn't he behind?
Yeah, he brought Ultimate Spider-Man. I mean, he's the one that brought that to the table. And I've talked about this before that if it wasn't for Ultimate Spider-Man, I probably would not be reading as much Spider-Man as I do now, because that really reintroduced me and got me geared up for all the years of Spider-Man that I had not read.
Sure.
And so that was a great thing. With the multiverse that DC is doing and with their kind of, we don't care about continuity, we only care about cool stories. Certainly he could be working over at that new, whatever the Metals imprint is, the all new era of superheroes or whatever it's called, something like that.
Yeah.
So he could definitely be doing something like that. We've seen the graphic novels, the Earth One series, where we've had Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, and I believe the Green Lantern one is coming up. Those have all been New York Times bestsellers. Mm-hmm. So it would, you know, if he wanted to do an Ultimate Batman, although I doubt they'd call it Ultimate, but you know, he could certainly do that.
Well, that's my question: is the word Ultimate copyrighted? Would it be too weird? Do you think they couldn't? And Marvel wouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be too happy about it, and it would be just. I mean.
He could do, hey, I got it.
We don't know how much DC is paying for this deal. Yeah. We don't know what DC is paying for this deal, but for them to spend as much money as they're doing to make this an exclusive contract, for them to use the word Ultimate would really just be, oh, here's DC trying to copy Marvel.
Yeah, I think I agree, but he could do this. He could call it Penultimate Batman.
It'd be the very last Batman.
Yeah, it'd be the second to last thing. Yeah, but just he'll just never do another. He'll never, you know, you never have to do the last one. Just always have the penultimate issue of, you know, Green Lantern.
Yeah, Bendis wrote a Batman story like 2007, I want to say. It was just like one story in an issue. And that's going, that's skyrocketing on eBay right now. Last look, it was like $35 for the issue. Jeez. For just a nothing issue. Mm-hmm. But now that he's over at DC, people are wanting to grab that up.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal.
How about Intimate Batman? Intimate Superman.
I like that. Hesitant Batman.
How about Justice League and Assemble?
You know what, actually, are there any non-main frontline DC things that would be interesting? Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Question again.
Legion of would be great for him, I think. Like
Legion of Superheroes has been super quiet for the last couple of years, and Brian Michael Bendis really likes to bring diversity to his comics, and what better place to do it than with a bunch of kids from all over the universe who come from different backgrounds, different, you know, races, etc., and using that.
Yeah,
he writes younger characters really, really well. I don't think he necessarily gets the dialogue down, but he does write, like, I mean, Ultimate Spider-Man was fantastic for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see how it goes. He's on the payroll, so who knows? That moves him to New York. Is that the deal, or are they all in LA now? They're all in LA.
He's up in Seattle. DC's been in Los Angeles for 2 years now, 3 years now, something like that.
Oh, that's right. I couldn't remember who moved. Somebody moved, and I guess it was
Marvel is still in New York.
Okay. Mark Miller, or Millar, for those who read it wrong, has announced his first Netflix comic book project. What is it, and how angry and gritty is it?
Well, we don't know yet, but this was also another story that came out. They both came out about the exact same time, which they kind of overshadowed each other. For those of you that don't remember, Mark Miller has signed an exclusive deal with Netflix to bring his comic book Miller World properties to Netflix for potential television series. And so the first comic book that's coming out under this deal is called The Magic Order. And it's about a group of magicians who basically live in a kind of a, not necessarily a different world, but five families of magicians have spent generations protecting humankind while living among them as normal seeming neighbors and coworkers. But when a new enemy emerges and starts picking off wizards one by one, it forces them to take new measures. So, kind of a magic hitman kind of thing going on there.
So you don't think it'll be like a Kick-Ass series or something like that?
I mean, it's Mark Miller. So, I mean, you're going to get the language. You're going to get the violence. You're probably going to get the sex in there as well. Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is, this is the first comic book series, 6-issue miniseries. There's nothing that guarantees that this will turn into a Netflix television series.
Yeah.
but everyone's looking at this and going, oh, yeah, this is going to be a Netflix television series in about a year.
Sure.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if it did. I mean, I would love to see The Authority. That was my introduction to Mark Miller. And I mean, yeah, very violent, very blue as far as the language and stuff. And but very groundbreaking. You had two openly gay characters on the on the team. You had people losing their head. Yeah, frequently. That's right.
Wasn't his
The problem with The Authority, though, is it's owned by DC and it's not part of Miller World.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not part of this
deal. Oh, okay. Well,
so did he do, was he Losers? Was Losers him? Do you remember that one?
Losers, I don't.
Yeah, the one that, the movie with Chris Evans. The other movie with Chris Evans as a superhero. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, was Chris Evans in that? I didn't know Chris Evans was in that. No, not Push. It was called Losers, and it was Evans.
That was at Image Comics.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Comic. Yeah. Hold on.
Here's some of the titles that Mark Miller has done that you guys probably know.
No, it's Vertigo. It's a DC deal.
Yeah, Vertigo. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway. The Kingsman, that's right. Already been taken off the table. Starlight, which is a really cool series that's kind of like what would happen if Flash Gordon were an old man and called back to help save the planet once again. Mm. That one is a really cool book that you guys should check out. And it doesn't have as much violence or language as you might expect.
Yeah. With the actual Flash Gordon or just a Flash Gordon character?
Yeah, type character. But you can tell that he's totally talking Flash Gordon.
Mm. Right.
Then there's another series that's probably right in line because I believe they were trying to work on this as a movie, but it didn't get off the ground. Is one called Chrononauts. It's kind of a raunchy time travel story. Mm. Mm. There's Jupiter's Circle, which is a family of superheroes and them dealing with like political drama type stuff.
Mm.
There's Nemesis, which is what if Batman were crazy, insane, and killing people?
Yeah, which is what's the other one that's like that? It's the, not Oni Press, whoever, IDW, whoever makes the one about the, what's that called? It's like he's like Superman, but he's just killing everybody.
Oh, yeah, that was over at Boom Studios.
Unstoppable.
Not unstoppable. Irredeemable.
Irredeemable. Such a great series. Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's kind of what Midnighter, like Midnighter and Apollo were basically the Batman and Superman archetypes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally.
Interesting. Totally. Yeah, there's a lot of, I'm looking at the page here of other stuff. They've got a lot of kick-ass stuff, but I forgot he wrote Wanted, which got turned into a movie.
Yeah, so that one's off the table too. So you won't see that turned into a Netflix.
And you're not gonna get like a Kingsman series or anything, because that's also
You won't get Kingsman. Yeah. You won't get Kick-Ass. So you're really looking at the ones that haven't been picked up. Huck, I believe, has been picked up, which is about what if this kind of a, I don't want to say he's dim-witted, but he's not 100% there. Guy has all of these powers akin to Superman, and what does he do by just essentially granting people's wishes?
Yeah.
And then what happens when people finally find out that it's him that's doing it all? How does his life change? Yeah. That one's a good series too.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It's a guy sitting on a roof talking to a bird.
It's a really good book. You should read it.
All right, I'm in. Well, this is all good. All these things are good that you're talking about. People can check out more breaking stuff and things happening over there at majorspoilers.com. Steven, anything you'd like people to check out on the site, podcast, whatever? What do you got going?
Yeah, if you want a super short but comprehensive history of Hayes, Kansas, this week on Critical Hit, we're doing our Urban Shadows game that takes place in Hayes, Kansas. So for a portion of this most recent episode, I talk about the history of the city and some of the cool things that have happened here. And so it'll give you a little bit of insight as to what the real world is like, and then how do we incorporate that into the game.
One of the original D&D / role-playing podcasts ever. Critical Hit. Right. Amazing show. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah, I think we're up to 9 years now.
Jeez. That's crazy, dude.
I know, right?
Is that correct? Nine years? My
gosh. 9 years.
I feel like that was yesterday you told me you had a new show coming out called Critical Hit.
I know, we're all old.
I know you people that I'm talking to right now. I've known you guys longer than most people I have in my life. I'm trying to think. I love my wife and my kids. I don't, like, it used to be, I'd be like, oh, weird. I know that guy for 5 years. Or so. Yeah, isn't
who are you
nuts?
Calling you people?
Well, you people. Your people.
Yeah. No, I know.
Anyway, that's crazy. Steven, have a fantastic day. We'll see you later. Bye.
See ya.
Okay.
Squishing my Hearthstone.
Oh, yeah.
Spongy thing. I've got a physical therapy appointment today, so I've got a.
Let me see that again. Hold that up. Oh, that's cool. It's a squid, like a stress toy type thing.
It's a stressy toy, yeah. Stressy, squishy.
Where'd you buy that? Did you get that at BlizzCon or the pre-sale or whatever?
I don't know. It was a free thing in something, and I can't remember where it came from. But a loot crate or something, or I mean, you'd have one if it was in a BlizzCon goodie bag.
Yeah, I want that. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, time for this, everybody. Buckle up, because here's the sound.
Hello, and welcome to Universal Studios' Star Trek Adventure, courtesy of Paramount Pictures.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
It is pretty fruity. Mm-hmm. It's Daryl Skeels. I think he's in his car. Hi, Daryl.
He is in his car.
I am in my car.
I have video and everything. All right, great.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You can see up his nose, ladies and gentlemen.
You're very... Daryl's very jolly today.
He's providing us his own kind of Star Trek discovery.
Nice. You just did a Kardashian selfie. If you hold it up high, then nobody can see any of your flaws. If you hold it down here, we see nose hairs.
Not
and...
to be confused with a Kardashian selfie.
Yeah, no, yeah, Kardashian selfie. There it is.
Lots of
that would be all neck.
Yeah,
all no, it'd neck. Be all lights. Yeah, four of them, as a matter of fact.
Four lights. Hey, Daryl's here. He's got it going on. You look pretty happy, and I'm guessing it's because you're pleased with last night's Discovery finale. How'd you feel about it?
Oh yes, that's the reason. Yeah, it was good. It makes me want more. I want to know what's happening next.
Mm.
Right.
And without,
I guess that's the point.
Yeah, and without spoiling it, I mean, did we get some resolution on Michael's story throughout this season, or where are we at? Are we all new questions and hardly anything answered?
We get, I think we get answers, but then we go into a whole new question that, without giving any spoilers, kind of harkens back to another Star Trek series.
Another one, eh?
Yes.
Let me guess which one.
I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong anyway, so you can guess all you want.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not much of a spoiler, though.
Watch it.
Okay. I'm going to finally
catch it. It is a spoiler, I think. It so is. We don't want to say it. Yeah.
All right. Q shows up and says, ha! Well, look at me, everybody. Not that.
I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Hold on. How about...
I can't even guess.
What? Really?
Well, if Daryl doesn't know, it can't be a
the
spoiler.
The very last scene and the question that it now poses?
See, they weren't playing poker around a table.
No.
No. No. All right, well, I'll tell you guys off here.
Is it a giant chessboard with the dwarves moving pieces around?
I'm not going to say a damn word. You know what? I'll text you guys, but you know, let's keep talking because this isn't terribly entertaining for everybody
else. Is there a liquid man in a bucket at some point where he lives in a bucket? No? Okay, great. Well, that's good. I'm hearing good things across the board. It's nice to hear that our very own Trek nerd also seems to be happy. So take the whole... Give us a 5-star review range on this whole series. We've got one full season now under our belts, greenlit second season already underway, filming and production. What does Daryl say? What grade do you give it?
Well, it's so weird to... You can't really compare this to the other ones, but I'll give it a... 4.7
out of 5. That's strong.
Wow, that's high praise indeed.
That's really good. And yeah. And I like that you said what you said. You have to judge this one on its own merits.
Yeah.
For what it is, just like you would have to do, I think, for most of the others. It was easy to say that DS9, TNG, and Voyager all had a lot of common ground, but most of that's because it was made in the 90s and had the same producers. Mm-hmm. And
like, it followed a formula. Discover a problem. Solve the problem, move along, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this one,
we live in a post Lost world now.
We do. We live in a Battlestar Galactica world, and I think this is, you know, probably the best comparison is very, very Battlestar.
But also, just storytelling in general has evolved to on TV specifically to a point that what was Star Trek going to do? They kind of had to. They got to get in, or else they look weird. Yeah. They end up looking like some kind of retrofitted thing.
Evolve or die is the thing, right?
There you go. You're absolutely right. So this didn't
evolve or be the Orville.
Yeah. And there's a few indicators that it's doing well in terms of numbers that ABC has shared, but also it's high on the people are pirating it charts, which is always a weird side indicator of how well something's
the
doing.
People who steal it love it.
Yeah. It's like Game of Thrones was always the top. Getter of torrents, and HBO seemed to be kind of okay with that, weirdly. But yeah, that's good. I'm happy to hear that. Now, I am here to tell you guys that I watched an entire Orville episode, and I plan to watch the rest of it. I really enjoyed it, but I think maybe what I did helped me. Because when you guys first saw it, you were expecting, and Fox didn't help with this, but I think you were expecting nonstop sort of Seth MacFarlane humor.
Seth MacFarlane. I was expecting Family Guy live action in space, basically.
Right. One of his movies he made or something like that. Like that is what I would have also expected. But because you guys all sort of tempered my expectations, and then everybody else online was like, yeah, it's weird. It's like there's more drama and more Star Trek in it than Star Trek in some ways. And there's still the funny and there's still the whatever, but it's not. It's a weird mix, and I think that helped me because I really enjoyed it. Like, I came away really liking it. I didn't have any big expectations for the comedy. I think that helped me, and I'm only one in, so there's plenty more to go here, but I kind of had a ball with it. I thought it was great.
It feels like, it's basically Star Trek The Next Generation if you had 4 or 5 crew members on a ship that were completely incompetent goofballs.
Yeah, kind of like that.
They just, but
not everybody, right? I mean,
Don't you think they're getting dumber as it goes?
Do they?
I think I know who you're talking about. I think maybe a little bit, but but I mean, you could drop Bordas into a TNG episode. Like he would be fine working with Starfleet.
I like Bordas a lot. Bordas is my favorite character.
I think the security officer woman with the Bajoran nose. I think you could drop her into TNG.
Oh, is she's the strong one?
She's the strong one.
Super strength. Yeah, I like her too. Yeah,
did you notice her nose disappears later?
Oh, does it?
Really?
I guess they got tired of doing the makeup, or I don't know.
Nobody will notice this. Let's save a couple hours and not do her. Let's just do her forehead. Or
interesting.
Whatever.
I actually even think the bad guys from the first episode, I assume they continue on.
Krill, yeah.
Yeah, the Krill. Mm-hmm. They are kind of menacing. Like, they kind of nail mm-hmm. some of that stuff. They're yeah. funny, too, and they need to be. Like, when they're having this conversation about what a relationship is and what a marriage should be like. I mean, it does take those turns, but, like, generally speaking, it's almost like Star Trek with a sense of humor.
Right.
Like a real one.
Yeah.
Not a dumb one like, oh, Wesley, what have you done? Not like that, but like a real sense of humor. It's really weird. It's a weird thing to exist. I kind of can't believe it exists, to be honest.
I want to say that this most recent, I want to say that each episode feels like it's got something from TNG or TOS kind of driving it. Like this most recent episode, wasn't there a Luxana Troi episode that kind of had the same cause for things?
Was it her Daryl? Getting space? Wasn't that one where she got space molested or whatever, is it? Do you remember that one where like the weird space?
I do, but no, that was like
okay.
By the Weinsteinatron or something
yeah,
like
the
that.
One... the Weinstein alien that crept in there in the night or whatever. That was weird, I'm into that. I'm into them making riffs about Star Trek stuff I know, but then mm-hmm. having names for, different names for things. So instead of like warp drive, it's called what is it? It's another name,
but
it's like
the flash drive.
Your what? Whatever it is. That's not bad actually. It should be.
That actually would work.
Yeah. But I, you know what I kind of expected before all of this. Now finally seeing it, it's not what this is. I expected it to be like Airplane, where the parody is out there and ridiculous and everything's a dad joke and, you know, well, the shit's going to hit the fan and then actual poo hits the fan, you know, that kind of humor. Mm-hmm. And it's not that at all. They treat the world with some respect. They treat it as a living space. This is the future. We're bumbling idiots and we say dumb things sometimes and our motivations are weird, but it's still the world we live in. And there's something grounded about that that I really like.
It's a sci-fi show with comedy elements rather than a comedy show with sci-fi elements.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said. Anyway, I like it. I'm going to keep going and watch the whole damn thing. Oh, and it's all on Hulu now, so I don't know what I was worried about. It's all just sitting
right,
there.
Right, there you go. Yep.
There's an episode coming up that you'll see that has no funny, and it's my favorite one.
Really? What, has someone die or something, or what's going on there?
No, it's just not filled with dumb jokes.
Okay. Is that the shipwreck?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm curious now.
Yeah, it was good. That was good.
I'll watch that. We'll never forget, everybody, that Peter Griffin can do things more. You know what? It is funny, though. When I listen to him talk in his normal voice, it's basically just Brian the dog.
It's Brian, right. Yeah, exactly.
It's Brian the dog talking about stuff. It's just hard for me to not hear that.
Stewie,
or see
could
that.
You fly around the planet as quickly as you can?
He's just doing Brian. All right. Well, there's that. So that's Star Trek. Till when? When do we get the next bit?
It's done until January 7th.
Of this year or next year?
Yes. Well, next year. We're going to go back.
Unless there's some time travel.
No.
Scott,
I don't mean that.
Next year,
I don't mean that. But 2018, 2019. Do we know?
2018.
The episodes are done. Well, mostly they're filmed, but they're still doing the post-production.
So that's
stuff.
Fast. That's only a few months away.
That's a month and a half away.
And that's already a new season.
No, that's the second half of season
one. Oh, I didn't realize we were at a cliffhanger mid-season thing. I thought this was the season. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But after this, or after they're done with the second half, the next season we might not see till 2019.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so hopefully CBS has something else up their sleeve to keep people subscribing after this ends.
Well, now Disney's got their Star Wars TV show to head up their streaming service. They're going to have... They basically won the fight already without even having anything out there yet, I think. Disney's gonna clobber. That's going to be a big deal. I mean, you can still have a world where CBS All Access exists, but I think that Disney streaming service is going to genuinely be a big deal.
Sure.
So we'll see. All right, Daryl Skeels,
I did hear that there's going to be a Twilight Zone series on CBS All Access.
That'd be cool. Who's making that?
But I don't know anything about it other than they haven't started making it yet, so it'll be a while.
Don't It'll have
Seth MacFarlane's Twilight Zone.
Oh my gosh, could be Seth. could be Seth Green. Could be Seth Rogen. Could be all the Seths.
You know, yeah. Seth Rogen, I think his involvement with Preacher is exactly the amount of involvement you want from Seth Rogen.
Yeah, no,
no, I'm kidding. I like Seth Rogen.
It's genuinely good. Like Preacher, you know, he is executive producer with his buddy that made a bunch of dumb movies, but that thing's awesome. So yeah,
it's really, really
they
good,
want to
yeah.
do more of that. I'm all up on that. Don't make Green Hornet again, though. That was a piece of shit. That was a bad movie. All right. Daryl Skeels, everybody. Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter, and he's eating in his car.
Well, I'm getting out a cookie is what I'm getting.
Oh, it's Oreo. Yeah, our last thing of Oreos.
Yeah, what do we have? I forgot. Cookie, butter, cookie whatever butter. It is. Yeah, cookie butter. Hold on. Shit, I forgot. Where is mine?
Yeah.
I like to eat.
That's right. Scott, make sure you show the viewing audience an entirely full bag of cookie butter because
The kids
won't see
took
that
it.
Tomorrow.
The kids took it. They may have eaten some. Hang on. Hold on.
This smells good. I think I sniffed up a bug.
That was the Jamie. I'd like that isolated out.
Okay. The missing cookies were not me. My kids took it yesterday while they were playing Overwatch, and they ate a bunch of these. Yeah, we're down to three quarters of a sleeve.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But well, I haven't eaten these yet, so the kids have
been
thinner
than
them.
The other two. Like, both the mystery flavor and the apple pie felt like double stuff.
Yeah.
These are a little bit more the right thickness for Oreos.
Cookie butter. Didn't we have these before?
No, not cookie butter.
I think Jim Jensen may have sent me some of these before.
Yeah.
Did I not send them out to you guys?
No.
Well, now you're getting them. Here we go.
So the kids ate 2.5.
It's entirely possible. They get their friends over here. They pay Overwatch, and then before you know it, anything that was edible is no longer existing. All right, here we go.
All right.
Smells like cookie butter, which, by the way, is the least butter thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't know what cookie butter is.
Have you never had cookie butter?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's literally what you're eating right now, but in like the middle bit. But it comes in a peanut butter jar. And you scoop out the stuff and spread it on things. It's basically not cookie dough, but it's like it's this.
So it's like a sweet peanut butter not made with peanuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, it feels like you're eating sin. It feels like sin is in your mouth.
It's really good. I should sin more.
Yeah.
It is really good. Yeah.
And you find yourself tempted to just take a fork and dig it out and eat it raw.
Oh God. Yeah.
And that's why. That's why I can't have that around.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, it's
all
good.
Right, awesome.
Cookie butter.
Thank you, Mary. Weird Tigger Heidenberg.
And if you notice, on the front, there's like a jar of this stuff, right? And there's a little cookie sticking out that says limited edition.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of cookies they have on the Delta flights. So if
If
you've had that before, then that's basically cookie butter, but not in a goof
almost
form.
Like shortbread wafers, but more...
Yeah.
Cinnamony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always get those. I love those.
I love those, yeah.
So good. Daryl Skeels. Everyone watch or listen to This Week in Trek. Because This Week in Trek has been watching Star Trek as it's happened and has great coverage of it. Daryl, stay out of trouble. Bye. He didn't have time.
easy to listen to, hard to say.
That's right. We're going to get out of here. Before we do, though, I hear Soundography's Muse episode went up. Is that true?
It did this morning. So if you like Muse or you just want to learn more about Muse, maybe you saw them at BlizzCon, you want to hear more, go to soundography.com. The most recent episode that Hammond and I did talk all about the band and their different albums and how those albums kind of form a weird little path through their music. It's really, really good. Good stuff.
Did your concert viewing inform the discussion?
No, because we recorded this before.
Oh.
But honestly, recording this was great preparation for the concert because I had a list of songs that I hoped that they would do in concert, and they did like 2/3 of them. So.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I was really surprised that they actually didn't do Madness or Undisclosed Desires in concert because those are two of my favorite Muse songs. But
I assume those are songs by Muse.
Those are big hits for them. I mean, that's actually what surprised me, not... the fact that I like those songs, and I was really surprised they didn't do them.
Yeah. Well, all right then. Muse, check it out. Soundography.
Yes. I hear you've got a boop show today.
Yep. 3:30 p.m. Brian Dunaway mentioned it earlier. We'll mention it again. That will be happening live right here on the stream. So come on back for that. That's in like 3.5. No, it's like 3 hours from now. So come join us. 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Frogpants.tv. We'll do it live. It'll also be on the podcast. Details at frogpants.com/BOOP. And that is going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. If you'd like to support us, you can go to our patreon.com/TMS page and do so. You can also find everything you might need to know about us, contacting us, talking to us, whatever it may be, at frogpants.com/TMS. Quick programming note. Normal week this week outside of today's hour delay. Don't forget, this is the first official week anyway where TMS PM is no longer on Thursday afternoons. It is in its own time slot, 1:30 p.m. on Fridays.
So look at that, everybody. Even you streamers get TMS 5 days a week now.
Yep, except for Black Friday, which will be 10, I think.
Right.
We're still working that out.
That week is all screwed up because we're doing, we're not going to do a show on Thanksgiving. Right. I wasn't planning on it. I don't know if you wanted me either.
And I don't know what's happening with the instance. So stuff's all shuffled around and it's just holidays, right, man. That's the way it works around here in America. That's it. Let's get out of here. Did you bring music to play at the end? Or?
I brought music, Scott.
Oh, great. Okay, perfect, because I was worried.
Bob Peterson, you may want to tune out. Free hotel room, however you are monikering yourself right now. Med the Pirate in the Tadpool. It goes by Med. Wrote in, said, "Hola, Brian and Scott. I'm hoping you chaps have got my back on what is bound to be a tough day for me. Marking the second anniversary of the loss of my biggest sister, the small things really matter. All through the ordeal, it was your voices that started my day and continue to do so. I hope this gives you some insight into just how valuable a thing you do is for so many. As a child, I remember distinctly my father pulling down a George Michael poster from the inside of my sister's wardrobe. I'd really love it if you would honor her rebellious side a little by finding a modern-day cover of anything Wham or Wham era and giving it a play on the show."
Nice.
"Siempre viviendo la vida loca," signed Med.
Nice. Well, you did a good reading of that last part. That was impressive.
You know, it's 3 years of Spanish, my friend.
Very nice.
Muy bien. This is a band called The Davenports. They contributed to an album that came out in 2014 called Here Comes the Rain Again, the Second British Invasion. And Rain is R-E-I-G-N. Clever. Really good album. A lot of great covers on there, including this one right here. The Davenports and their cover of Wham's Freedom.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Whole new show. Come on back. Normal time, 10 a.m. tomorrow. So we'll see you guys then.
Every day I hear a different story. People saying that you're no good for me. Saw your lover with another and she's making a fool of you. If you love me, baby, you deny it. But you laugh and tell me I should try it. Tell me I'm a baby and I don't understand. But you know that I'll forgive you just this once. Now is you.
want right now is you.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
And how?